Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Sports Hodgepodge coming up in 20 minutes. Fan After Dark's coming up at 7. I saw Fred in here earlier. He's throwing heat as per usual. Haven't seen him around for a while, but I'm sure they'll be back up here and ready to rock in 1 hour's time. The Rangers are off until Friday when they will resume their post-All-Star portion of their schedule. 48-49 after that successful weekend against the Astros. But for more on them and baseball, here's Wolchuk.
All right, so our Rangers did get 2 of 3 over the Astros. Nasty Nate Eovaldi. Just a G-Bag Nation round of applause for Nate. We love you. Thank you so much, Nate. You're an absolute badass. DeGrom's there in Austin, and he's like, I don't know why Nate Eovaldi's not here with me in Atlanta for the All-Star game. It's just bull bleep is what it is. Now, he did pitch yesterday, so he wouldn't have been pitching in the game either, but he deserved it. He deserved to go. According to FanGraphs, he's already been well worth the $62.2 million through the first 2.5 seasons, and he's on pace to exceed his actual contract value. It's pretty crazy that FanGraphs like even has that ability. That's just kind of where we're at now in this era of new information and analytics.
He's one of these guys that, like Verlander, that's somehow just getting better.
It's weird.
I'm going to get older. I got to figure it out. Yes. And as long as he's healthy, like, Eovaldi's one of the best pitchers in the game.
He really is. He's been fantastic. And congratulations to Marcus Semien. Home run number 250 yesterday for Marcus, who's been catching absolute fire. So the Rangers go into the break on a positive. And John Morosi, our Odyssey MLB insider, jumped on with our fellas, Sean and RJ, this morning. Bobby on vacation. Hope you're having fun, buddy. But here was John Morosi on the Rangers still being big-time aggressive buyers at the deadline.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if you are within range of 500 in the American League right now, I mean, you just look at the mathematics of things and where the Red Sox are. The Red Sox are playing pretty good baseball, to be fair. But the Red Sox are playing good ball. The Mariners are there on the fringe of things in terms of the wild card picture. And I think that the Rangers are still one of those teams that – will look for reasons to buy instead of look for reasons to sell. The teams that are on the fence in a lot of ways this time of year, I really think there are two kinds of teams. Those that look to sell, like the Marlins will look to sell. The Cardinals, they may actually look to buy John Mozeliak's final year. The point is, I think there are certain teams that tend to lean one way or the other. And Chris Young, just his competitiveness, it's the World Series champion from 2 years ago. I just think this team is going to look for reasons to buy and not sell.
You're 3.5 back of the wild card, and in the division, you are currently 8.5 back. And you know what Eric Nadell said on Friday with us gave me some optimism. Like, Houston's yet to really have their bad stretch. They haven't had one this year. They're due. Every team's going to have one during the course of 162 where you go into a little bit of a funk. The Dodgers just had theirs, lost 6 in a row. So there might be an opportunity at some point in the second half. The key is your offense is going to have to carry over. The bats are going to have to keep hitting. And then what do you do to bring in maybe another reliever to enforce the bullpen? Now, this was interesting from our buddy Jared Sandler. And this was yesterday. But in regards to John Gray, now, unfortunately, John Gray did not get to do another rehab start. It was rained out in Round Rock. But Bochy said that while the Rangers are stretching John Gray out, they are, in fact, still considering him as a reliever to help out the bullpen.
Okay, we'd wondered that during the offseason, and we're kind of shot down when we asked about that in spring training, but maybe it makes more sense than ever now considering how the first 100 games have gone for him, being injured like that. So that could be huge.
Could be.
You know, I do wonder if with Malley and, you know, Leiter and Rocker, you'd still want him as a starter, but it's very interesting. I guess as long as you don't take any more injuries to your top five guys, that would make sense.
All right, let's go to the MLB draft last night. And I think it's about wrapping up now. It's crazy how many rounds and picks there are in the MLB draft. But the Rangers last night in the first round, 12th overall pick, take Gavin Fien, the shortstop out of Great Oak High School in California. Here was MLB in the moment of the draft with their analysis on the Rangers' new first round pick.
With the 12th pick of the 2025 MLB draft, the Texas Rangers select Gavin Fien, a shortstop from Great Oak High School in Temecula, California.
A He's 6'3", high school shortstop. Some scouts thought that he was the best 2025 high school prospect during last summer's showcase circuit. He had 408 games for Team USA, hit over 400 as a sophomore and as a junior. Gavin Fien to the Rangers. Harold, what do you think?
You know what? I've watched Gavin through high school and into the summer, and what I see from him is a guy that continues to get better. And it just goes to show you the work ethic. I wanted to see some of the swings that you just saw, USA team and also his high school, how he kind of flicks the ball and he doesn't really stay through it. He was athletic. But then he came to the combine and I got a chance to really see it on display. Look how much stronger he got in that little bit of time from high school season to now. Finishing the swing look better. He's going to continue to just get better. I really like watching him take ground balls. This wasn't 10 crow hops to see how hard I can throw it. It was get rid of the ball. He has a great zip, great arm on it. But the biggest thing to me when I first saw him, I thought he was a college junior.
That's amazing. Just 18 years old. He was originally committed to playing for the University of Texas. Rangers now took him 12th overall. MLB Pipeline had him as the 22nd. Draft prospect, but the Rangers are pretty pumped. Fien said via Zoom, quote, "I think my bat is kind of my carrying tool. I have a lot of confidence in it. I feel like there's a lot of development, even on top of that, to really take certain strides and succeed. I think I have just a power type of profile with some athleticism." So I'm pumped about this. Rangers did meet with him quite a bit during the combine as well. And they're excited about the offensive potential. Him defensively, he can improve. He was up there with some of the elite guys in the draft, according to the Rangers. So moving forward, I mean, they've gone the college route. Maybe they can hit with this pick here. And they circled back, got a pitcher out of Tennessee in the second round. So overall, hopefully the Rangers ended up getting some gems.
Yeah, I talked to a general manager buddy of mine in Major League Baseball, and I asked him about this particular player. And I was just curious. I go, hey, is this guy worth our time? And my guy gets back to me, goes, absolutely, he's a stud. I worked him out privately this spring, and he was absolutely juiced on my preference list. Future power hitting third baseman, all-star potential, tremendous makeup.
Let's go.
So that's what another
hard worker
NFL, another Major League Baseball team thought about this particular player.
I love it. And shout out to Prosper Zone, Easton Carmichael. He was selected by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Maybe not always the organization that you'd like to go to, but regardless, local kid DFW, 82nd overall pick. He's getting the slot value of just under $1 million for that selection. So I'm sure his family and him, very, very excited, very, very happy. MLB Home Run Derby tonight. Fellas, these are the odds, okay? If you guys want to go ahead and pick a horse in the race, yesterday we went ahead and did this on our BetMGM show, Bet Nation. You can catch that 3-7 on Sundays. We got Cal Raleigh. Out of the M's, the Seattle Mariners, James Wood of the Nats, Junior Caminero of the Rays, Byron Buxton of the Twins, Brent Rooker of the A's, Matt Olson of the Braves, Jazz Chisholm Jr. of the Yankees, and O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates. The winning for getting the Home Run Derby prize is $1 million. That is more than O'Neill Cruz, James Wood, and Junior Caminero's entire salaries are.
That's crazy.
So this would be pretty huge for them if they could win.
That's amazing.
I think James Wood's the guy that we're going with from the Washington Nationals. 22 years old. I think he's built for this. Power swing. I'm going with James Wood.
Give me Buxton from Minnesota.
Buxton?
Yeah,
okay.
Buxton.
Oh, B-Rye, huh?
I mean, how's that right field porch in Atlanta? Do we know? I gotta Google this real quick because I feel like it's Kyle Raleigh.
You want to go big dumper?
He's got 38 bombs. The next closest guy has 24. There's people in here in the mid-teens.
He's a switch hitter, right? Kyle Raleigh, switch hitter?
He is. So right field, especially for left-handed batters. Easiest place to hit home runs there in Atlanta at the Truist Park is left field. So I think he's got more power from the left side or the right. Yeah.
Big dumper over there. Well, you want to throw in a pick or you want to just go with me and James Wood?
James Woods, actor.
You're a Matt Olson fan.
I do.
O'Neill Cruz.
You know I appreciate the Olson twins, but I am going to go with James Wood.
Okay, perfect.
Did you see what he said about what he's going to do with that $1 million?
Which is he giving it to charity? Giving it to mom and dad?
No.
Buying himself a Maserati?
It's something.
Is he going to wake up in a new Bugatti?
It's something even cooler than that.
What are we doing? Chick-fil-A for a year?
Someone asked James Wood what he planned to do with the $1 million prize money if he wins the Derby. Quote, probably go to Waffle House.
Perfect. That's our guy. That's our kind of dude right there.
He's just about ball.
We love him.
Is really what he is.
Easy to root for right there. A guy like that.
My favorite thing of like one of the things with NASCAR was after some of these teams would win and they would have the trophy and they would go to the Waffle House and bring the trophy to the Waffle House.
Oh, that's epic.
Like they would all walk in with trophy and then set it and everybody would like, yay! And then they'd have whatever great meal you were going to get that night. By the way, when I was in South Carolina, I had to stop at the Waffle House.
Of course. And you know what?
What'd you get?
I got a cheeseburger.
How was it?
I've never had the cheeseburger at the house.
I was in the lunch mode kind of a situation.
Gotcha.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I could have these hash browns with cheese and onions and like I always would get
the skillet.
And I haven't thought about ordering the flat iron steak just to see. But I went for the cheeseburger and it was damn good. Yeah. I mean,
man.
Damn good.
Wow. Anthony Bourdain, may he rest in peace. His whole breakdown of Waffle House.
Oh, it's incredible.
I need to see that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've seen that.
Hit it up on the YouTubes.
Him and his chef buddy they went out drinking one night and they ended up and they did a whole documentary on like what it was like. And the guy's like, all right, man, it's a salad. It's got like this dressing. I don't know how to describe it. And it's just basically like this Russian dressing,
incredible. Kind of such.
But yeah, like they ordered everything basically on the menu and just critiqued it and had it. It was a great documentary.
877-881-1053. What's your go-to Waffle House order? Because in college, I used to park it at the one in Denton, and I would go five scrambled eggs.
The skillet?
I would just go five scrambled eggs. I would do roughly 8 to 10 sausage patties.
8 to 10?
And I would do like a double order of the hash browns.
Man. Okay.
And would that set you back?
Probably about $12.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, man.
You can get a lot of food for a little price.
I'm just telling you, like every time I
usually
I've ever
would bum a smoke all my waitress.
So good.
I usually like I way over tip at the Waffle House.
You should,
because
sure.
I feel like that I got like
you got the value.
You didn't add up all my stuff.
Yeah,
you didn't add up the and they're like, no, that's your price.
Did you forget the waffle?
And I'm like, no, but I mean, you're full. Yeah. But they're like, you feel like that they're that they forgot something. So I'm like, well, here's an extra $20 because I've enjoyed this meal beyond all meals I've ever had.
903 says Texas bacon cheesesteak is goated.
That sounds delicious.
Oh my. That's at Waffle House?
I guess so.
I haven't gone to Waffle House in a minute. I need to make a stop. We do have
I've never
news.
Gone there for anything but breakfast. I just assume that breakfast specialty spots are terrible at dinner. So this is enriching for me.
I got to try that burger.
When we're in California, can I take you guys to like the Western Sizzler?
Oh, please. We've been trying to do this forever.
About that. Yeah, for sure.
You know what? Maybe that because we're flying out the Saturday morning. Maybe that Friday night we make a drive to the Western Sizzler.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Western Sizzler, like you guys are going to like hate me for, but there's so much food.
Let's do it.
But I think everybody could find something to eat. Out of it.
We're not super
but
picky.
It's a good segue from a pancake house type of
establishment. It's got shrimp.
Because it's the equivalent.
Steak. Yeah, the steak. I mean, they've got like a big time salad bar, soup bar, but they've got all a taco bar. I mean, you could have like 7 or 8 things on your plate.
Yeah.
That you like. I how did I get the combination of all these things?
Yeah.
But
a Chinese buffet, but for a steakhouse.
That's where we should have gone. We should have gone to the Western Sizzler.
Yeah, we should have. We missed an opportunity.
We missed that.
Last thing here, and this is breaking news. Stu
Friday night, okay.
Stu Sternberg is selling the Tampa Bay Rays.
$1.7 billion
to a group led by Florida-based developer Patrick Zalupski.
Jacksonville guy.
Is he now?
Yeah.
Okay, there you have it. So the deal is reportedly expected to be closed as early as September and will keep the franchise in the area, with Zalupski, a home builder in Jacksonville, having a strong preference to land in Tampa rather than in St. Petersburg. So $200 million is what Sternberg bought the Rays for. He's now turning around and selling it for $1.7 billion. Nice play there, sir.
Nice play.
Well, the fans were ready for him to move on.
Yeah, rightly
so. Their fans are like, so they go to the games there at the Yankees at Steinbrenner Field with signs like, get the hell out of here kind of thing.
214 Secret Menu, Fiesta Omelet at the Waffle House. 817 with the skillet steak with the hash browns and the eggs.
There you go.
You got a cheesesteak omelet in the 682 saying that's the best.
Ooh. I'm going to have to get this cheesesteak on the way home, I think. That just sounds amazing.
Yeah, bro.
My interest is piqued. Thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Okay, sports hodgepodge time, Chief. Where are you taking us?
The least surprising sports news you've ever heard. just came hot off the presses. Blake Elliott is back, by the way. I just saw his face. He's here,
he's here
off of his legendary trip to Greece. And we have a weekend ball sacking next year in the nation.